Welcome to Career Tools. This is Sarah.
And I'm Mark.
Today's podcast, How to Answer the Leadership Style Question, Part 1 of 1.
This guidance answers these questions. What is your leadership style? How do I prepare in my interviews for the leadership questions? Or how do I slam dunk the leadership question?
If you want answers to these questions and more, keep listening. Struggling to get your message across at work? Received feedback from your boss about your communication? The Effective Communicator Conference teaches you how to connect, influence, and communicate with clarity. Skills that make a difference at every career level. Join us by registering online at manager-tools.com/training. And we'll see you at an upcoming event. We are continuing our theme of re-recording some of the old classic Career Tools podcasts. And this week, we are going to bring out of the vault and freshen up our podcast on how to answer the leadership style question. And this question, what is your leadership style, is maybe the third most important interviewing question. I mean, after
yeah, I agree.
Tell me about yourself and the behavioral interview questions, what is your leadership style is a huge one for managerial leadership positions. And it can be a surprisingly, I think, tough one if you've not done a little bit of thinking about how you lead and how you motivate other people and why other people perform well when you are the one leading them.
Yeah. So in this cast, we're going to walk through how to prepare your answer and how to deliver an impressive answer. And at the end of our guidance, we're going to share with you a crucial test. For those of you who don't know, I was a recruiter before I started Horseman & Company and focused on managerial stuff. And so I've interviewed tens of thousands of people and have taught interviewing at corporations and have taught MBA students and college students how to be effective interviewees. And I was amazed that people would come up with wildly impressive leadership style answers and then were shocked at the ultimate test you'll get during an interview. And you probably already know the answer to the test, but it still catches most people off guard, and you better be ready.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And folks, this is just one of those topics that shows how important communication skills are as a manager. Many interviewers ask this question in interviews because it not only shows whether or not folks have the basic skills to be good, effective leaders, but also it really highlights whether or not you're generally overall a good communicator.
Yep. It is one of those answers, in addition to tell me about yourself and significant accomplishment answers or questions, that spreads the field and makes it easier for us interviewers to see top performers. What we want to do, and if you're watching on YouTube, you can see me make a bell curve. What we want to do is pull on the ends of the bell curve and separate out so we have clear distinctions between the best and second best and third best. The narrower the bell curve, the harder it is to tell people apart. And tougher questions, not rude questions, not forceful questions, but tougher in the sense of you'll have to be prepared to answer them. That's what separates the field.
Absolutely. All right. So our outline for today's show is pretty basic. We've got 3 points overall. First, we're going to talk about preparation, then delivery, and how to pass the final test.
So preparation. First item in preparation. You've got to spend time reviewing accomplishments from when you led or managed people. This is where all that preparation we talk about in the overall interviewing series pays huge dividends. We completely understand, first of all, that folks don't go through life having worked out their leadership style and put it into action. If that were the case, they would be teaching in a business school. And there's one thing I can tell you, business schools don't teach anything about interviewing. Some business schools, good MBA schools, teach how to handle a case interview on which we have guidance. It's a lot of fun, but the chances you're going to get a case interview, if you're in the 95% of our community that we think about day to day, you won't have to answer case style interview questions. And it's funny to say this, but we bet the majority of newer professionals now who are listening spend more time thinking about what to wear when they go out for an evening than thinking about how they lead and motivate people. Okay. That's just another example of the absurdity of management being just an extension of our personalities. Well, my style is my own style. Folks, let me tell you something. If you start talking about style as opposed to behavior, you're going to get hammered in an interview. You don't get to have a style for how you do Excel worksheets, or you don't get to say, I want to use Lotus 1-2-3. You don't get to tell your company, my style regarding badges is I don't like corporate badges, so please can you keep me from having a badge? Your style will be quickly overruled, or you'll go to work at another company and beg them not to give you a badge. You can't have a style for how you want the pay to come to you, whether it's in cash each week or in direct deposit each month. And so the idea that you could have a managerial style that's yours and yours alone is ludicrous. What's more, as we'll get into, too many people think that the definition of a good answer is to tell them what they would do in the future, which is just really, really bad. And for the record, leadership is not innate. The idea that it can't be taught is actually ludicrous. And the fact that it's not measurable or that it can't be systematized is also completely ludicrous. Leadership and management, we don't spend a lot of time talking about leadership because, in fact, the question, how do you lead people, is really, what do you do as a manager? But the idea that that is somehow a style or can't be taught, can't be learned or whatever, or isn't behavioral is just absolutely ludicrous.
Absolutely. And folks, listen, in a way, knowing you're going to be asked this question in an interview, it's a good thing because we doubt anyone would ever think about it clearly without the goad of having to regurgitate it all on command. Most of us don't sit around and think, geez, you know what my leadership style is? We just don't sit around brainstorming it and thinking about it. We've got a purpose here, but we understand that it scares people. It really does. Most people mess up their first few management or leadership opportunities, and it's hard to feel good about how you did it. But the key is drawing inferences from your background.
Right. So here's how to do it. Go back over all your accomplishments from your background. Now, if you have not listened to our interviewing series, which is available to all three levels of our licensees, Career Tools, Manager Tools, and Executive Tools, if you haven't listened to our podcast about how to prepare using something we call the general store analogy, which I created in like 1991, I think. So you'll need to do that and go over your list of accomplishments and take the pile of accomplishments that are leadership or management related and review them. And as you go through them, ask yourself, at key moments, how did I behave? Also, when and how did I talk to the team and its individuals? More, how did I incentivize people? How did I impart feedback that was encouraging, even if it was negative? Hopefully, you know how to do that as well.
Mm-hmm. And folks, when we're reviewing this pile, if you will, of these key accomplishments, we're going to be looking for behavioral and communication themes within that pile. So as you go through your examples and your notes about behaviors at key moments, ask how you communicated about them.
How, and we say, by the way, when Sarah says how, what she means is, was it email?
Mm.
Was it text? Was it Slack? Was it Teams? Was it verbal? Was it voicemail? Over the phone? Was it Zoom? Right? Those things.
Exactly. How frequently you communicated. How you went about making those decisions. Did you ask other people for input? Did you take a vote? Did you just say, this is what we're doing it and I don't want to hear any complaints about it? How do you make the decisions? How you provided feedback, etc. All of these kinds of things. This is what you're looking for, what you're asking yourself. And as you do that, look for themes that you can use to describe your way of leadership or your management style. And it's pretty simple, really. You might actually learn something, frankly, about what kind of manager or leader or boss you are in doing this post-analysis of the groupings, the themes of how you make decisions and how you communicate. You'll probably glean a lot of information that you maybe not were aware, you weren't necessarily aware of objectively before, and you'll be able to put it into a statement, into a way of your management.
Another helping thing is think about your empty disk profile. Are you a D, an S, a C, an I? It's both an extra source of insight into your behaviors and also a check to make sure that you're on the right track. Review your DISC profile, thinking about those keywords that are used to define your tendencies. If you took an empty DISC, there's a lot of keywords in your document, I think on pages 9 and 10. Once you get to 11, it's about behavioral guidance, but you'll find behavioral guidance about how to lead people who are who have different profiles than you. So think about those keywords and see if you don't see those in some of your examples. Also, if you end up with a bunch of behaviors that seem to contradict your DISC profile, go back through all those examples again. It's unlikely you're off that much from your profile.
Absolutely. And then what we say is, folks, choose 2 to 4 themes that describe your style. And this is just taking all that review and saying, okay, what are the key behaviors, communications, and or themes that I can be persuasive about regarding my way of leading other people? So for example, it might be goal setting, regular communication, and resource gathering. It might be team communication, empowerment, and collaborative decision making. It might be delegation, proactive communication, and customer service, whatever it is. This approach helps you to have plenty of examples as well as feel good about what you're talking about.
And something else too, folks. This is Manager Tools. And so we teach the Manager Tools Trinity: one-on-ones, feedback, coaching, and delegation. If you're a practicer, if you're a follower of our guidance, and you want to have a simple way to derive your, quote, leadership, unquote, style, quote unquote, don't fall into the trap of thinking, how can I show them that I'm a leader like Alexander the Great or President Roosevelt or President Obama? Okay, you don't have to do that. You can say, the way I approach my managerial responsibilities is I build trust, I give frequent feedback, largely positive and sometimes negative. I try to coach every one of my directs at least once a year, and when possible, as I see people developing, I work hard on delegating part of my responsibility to them so they can learn how to do higher level tasks while still having me as air cover. If you did that and then explained what you did in each of those 4 areas, you would have a killer answer. Now, look, some of you might be saying, oh, that sounds really good. I'll do what Mark said. Mark's really smart about interviewing. But folks, don't do it. Don't use that as your answer unless you actually do that stuff.
And hopefully everyone listening to this does.
Yeah, hope so. But again, this is career tools, right? So maybe there'll be some people, I don't know. So, delivery. First rule of delivery, deliver your topic sentence first. Okay. One of the rules about interviewing is you don't attempt to go through all the things you're not going to talk about before you get to what you're going to talk about. The classic example of this, it's probably, I've said it 1,000 times on the cast. If you've heard this part, once you hear me introduce it, if you want to skip forward 30 seconds, you're not going to hurt my feelings. But having interviewed thousands of college students in my career, when I ask a question, what is your GPA? Which, by the way, is not necessarily that important. It's not unimportant, but it's not the singular thing. I'm not looking for kids with 4 O's. In the U.S., that would be somebody with straight A's, because I'd actually rather have a kid who paid his or her way through college, grew up on a farm and had to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and milk the cows before they got their breakfast, and then had chores when they came home after football practice or cheer practice or whatever, or debate practice, right? And I want them to have not been in a fraternity or sorority and have gotten a 3.0 GPA, a B average, while working full-time and studying hard, okay? So GPA is simply a marker. It's a useful marker, and it tells me some things that I might want to dig into. But if I ask, what is your GPA? And the first word I hear is, well, you have already failed this question, because you are about to tell me things that you think I should know that are more important than what I know. What I want to know, and let me tell you something, what I want to know is the entirety of your interview. If I don't learn all the things I need to know about you in an interview, I won't be able to say yes. And if I don't have enough information to say yes, the default of all interviews is no. If it were yes, we would dispense with interviews. Okay. If we waited for people to make gross faux pas, only about 10 or 15% of people do that. In which case, interviewing would be way easier. But you know full well that it's not. So if we ask GPA question, say a number. Then after that, if you want to tell me, Mark, I got a 3.0 and I regret it. I probably could have done better, but I was working full time. I did not want to burden my parents or myself with post-college loans and grants that I had to pay off because I probably wasn't going to do in a high-performing field. And so I worked 60 hours a week, and I was in a couple of extracurricular activities so that I could build some relationships and leverage that in college. And I'm pretty smart, but I didn't do as well as I could have. Again, my GPA is 3.0. I love that answer. I don't need 4.0. But nobody ever answers that way. They don't start with a number. Same thing here. If you don't start clearly saying exactly, this is the way I manage people, this is the way I lead my peers, this is how I build trust. If you don't say those things, you're doomed. And this is just a form of bottom line up front, bluff, which you've heard us talk about surely for 20 years now on Manager Tools and Career Tools, right? So when you're asked for your leadership style, don't do anything before you hit us with your style, even though I hate that word. It's not a style. It's a set of behavioral preferences in that first sentence. First sentence. I'm going to be dead serious, right? So it might sound like this. My leadership style, actually, full disclosure, guys, I would switch it and say, my managerial style is to set a goal, delegate more than others would recommend, over-communicate, and instill a sense of urgency. Or you might say, I would describe my style of leading as collaborative with a focus on goals and communication. Now, obviously, that's just the first sentence. We're going to have to flesh out collaborative, goals, communication, goal, delegation, communication, sense of urgency. We're going to have to flesh that stuff out.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. And the way we flesh that out is after you've said your first sentence, you provide some meta communication. So after you've delivered that first sentence, your second sentence describes the organization your answer. And it might sound like overkill, but after that topic sentence, we just tell the recruiter what we're going to tell them. So it sounds like this. You've said your first sentence. I would describe my style of leading as collaborative with a focus on goals and communication. And then say, let me expand upon each of those areas and give you some brief examples.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner. You don't even have to have an answer that is killer. If you deliver that first topic sentence and then you do what Sarah said and said, hey, I'm going to dig into each one of those three, 1, 2, 3, or 4 or whatever, not more than 4 guys. It's not that complicated. You don't have that much time. You will win. They do not expect you to have the same leadership style as they do. They expect you to know what you've done in the past so that you can repeat it. This is the whole point. The whole point of behavioral interviewing, which is what any intelligent company is doing, although there are plenty of unintelligent companies out there, the bigger you are, the more likely it's going to be behavioral interviewing. The whole point of it is ask questions about their behavior in the past, because the best predictor of people's future behavior is their past behavior. And the goal is for the interviewer, as I've said 1,000, 10,000 times on Career Tools and Manager Tools and probably Executive Tools too, the goal of the interviewer is to be able to close his or her eyes and see you using those skills in the job. And it's entirely possible that you'll give a very good management style, leadership style answer, and it won't be aligned with the company. But this goes back to, Sarah, didn't we just re-record Horseman's Wager?
Yes, last week, I think we released it.
So heaven forbid you think you're going to give them the answer that they want. In other words, that's not your style because you haven't done a background review of how you've done these things before. And then the next question is the killer, which we'll talk about at the end, and you're absolutely doomed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So there are two things we see a lot of folks do, and they're both wrong. First, they give 2 to 3 minute examples, nearly full-blown answers all by themselves in the middle of this answer to support one of their behavioral components, like collaborative or over-communication or delegation or a sense of urgency. And if you're doing a leadership or a management style answer, it's probably going to be 3 to 4 to 5 minutes long. But you don't have time to go through a detailed explication of one of your situations of each one, because now you're talking 9 or 10 minutes. You're having a miniature behavioral example in the middle. You can touch on the thing you did and how you did it, but you can't give full answers. And the other one is, they try to ignore the question and they give one example. Well, let me tell you about an example. And they just talk through, I did this, and then I did this, and I did this. If you say "and then" a lot in an interview, folks, you're doomed. It's like that movie, Dude, Where's My Car? Also, one final thing. We should have actually said there are three things we see a lot of folks do. And the third thing they do is they say, well, here's how I approach those situations. I like to think this way. I like to, you know, when I'm in a situation like that, I think about this, I think about that, and so on. And now you're describing what you would do in the future.
Hypothesizing.
That is not what exactly hypothesizing. It's exactly the wrong way. Everybody knows it's totally fake. You can say anything you want. You can come up with literally a perfect example, and they won't believe it because you won't prove it.
Right.
Sorry, I got on my high horse there for just a minute.
It was great. Okay, so we started with, again, you're delivering your topic sentence first. Then we did the brief meta communication. Let me expand upon each of these areas and give you some examples. And now we elaborate on each theme with visual examples. So what we're suggesting is that you illuminate the skeleton of your example with actual things that you did without telling us the entire story. So, for instance, if you claim that part of your style is delegation, you might add, that means I'll sit down with each team member and have picked two to three parts of the mission and walk them through delegating it to them. They get to ask questions, and I get to ensure I'll get regular reports. Or when it comes to goal setting, I bring everyone together in a conference room, someone's cubicle maybe, and we hash out what's needed and what's possible. I set a time limit and allow the team to get there without my intervention.
I like those. And you know, if you haven't done that, don't say that's your style, because they're going to kill you a little bit later with the next question. So the key to this approach is the recruiter can close her eyes and see you doing what you're talking about. If you say, I delegate, that's not enough. If you say, I overcommunicate, not enough. But if you check in every 48 hours with every member by either phone or face-to-face, or you include a checklist in every one-on-one meeting, the interviewer can see those things. She can't see delegation, but she can see you sitting down or making a checklist. That's why we said we want you to give a visual example or two or three or four.
Yeah, exactly. However many is needed. And folks, it's safe to say here that the heart of our recommendation is your doing a
background review.
Your background review, which is necessary, knowing your two to four even themes, and then just giving life to them with some brief examples.
Yeah, I like that phrase, giving life to them. I think that makes it real. And that's when the recruiter can close his eyes. Yeah. Next, be careful with your vocabulary. We regularly hear a couple of phrases when we're hearing about leadership or management that don't work at all. One is, I like to. That's a dangerous phrase, according to psychologists. And I know because I used to employ behavioral psychologists at Horseman & Company when we were gathering all this data, and I was actually putting the interviewing guidance into place over and over again, both for clients and for individuals. It suggests, when you say, I like to, a theoretical answer as opposed to what you actually do. The other phrase that you have to be very careful about here is the phrase, you need to. In other words, you need to think through this, or you need to think through that, or so on. This is what is known as third or even second person communication, which is in the mental emotional case, when a psychologist listens to that, it is you actually distancing yourself from your answer. It's essentially saying, I know that this is important, and so I'm saying you need to, or one needs to, without actually claiming that I do it. And you're hoping that you get credit for it. But in a good interview, with a good interviewer, you will not get credit for it. It's a dead giveaway to the interviewer that what they're hearing is likely not that interviewee's personal way, actual way of leading.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And then folks, the last piece here of the delivery is the ending with a short wrap up. So, After you've delivered your leadership answer, we would recommend that you sum it up with one to maybe three sentences that bring you back to why you're interviewing. So we recommend you talk about the results you've achieved, what you enjoy maybe about leading, or perhaps how your style fits with the firm, the culture of the firm itself for which you're interviewing. And don't simply end by talking about your last theme or concept. It's just, it's a hard stop, right? You want a nice little, like a tapering
an outro.
Off.
An outro maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You've got to help the recruiter know that you're done, and not giving that little outro is just kind of an awkward stop. You need to taper off.
It might sound something like this. And I find when I use those four components, I'm generally successful in helping a team achieve. I have a general rule that you don't motivate other people. All motivation is self-motivation. But if I set an example, if I over-communicate and I delegate and I set a sense of urgency, I find that I'm successful in achieving the goals that I'm asked to achieve.
Yeah. There's a little bow on it. Something
simple like that. Yeah, exactly. A little bow. Good.
Are you planning a career move next year? Well, be ready for every opportunity with the Manager Tools interview series. Learn how to prepare, present yourself, and stand out in every interview. Don't wait for the job to open. Get ready now. And you can do so by becoming a licensee. Check it out at manager-tools.com/memberships. All of our career tools, manager tools, and executive tools licensees have access to the interview series. Get yourself ready today.
Okay, now, how to pass the final test. I couldn't wait to get to this part. I've hinted at it, what, four or five times
already?
Yeah, you have.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, sorry. Yeah. I think Sarah's going to give me some feedback when we're done at this. It's like, hey, don't give feedback
to your boss.
Okay. This is, it's literally like dropping the hammer on a candidate. And those candidates who say, I like to, or one needs to, or you need to, are absolutely going to get asked this question. The leadership question, management question, plus this next question spreads the field as well as any pair of questions an interviewer can ask. And here it is. After you've been asked for your leadership style, expect to be asked for a specific example of where you led a team or group successfully, and your answer had better show these exact themes that you've just used in your leadership style answer. And don't think you can fool us, because we can feel it. If you gave us a fake leadership style that actually sounded really good, and then you sort of hint at those kinds of themes, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. You're going to have to give specific examples of delegation or communicating urgency or bringing the team together, whatever it might be, specific behaviors you did that thematically support, or that specifically behaviorally support in a particular instance, the thematic overall approach of your leadership style.
Mm-hmm.
So don't give a great answer and then be caught flat-footed on that second question. If you are, your first answer will be negated.
Yeah. Even if it was amazing.
Even if it was amazing, because you're not that amazing because you're fibbing, right? Mm-hmm. If you follow these recommendations, though, you'll stand out from the field. No question.
Absolutely. All right. So to wrap it up, ultimately, answering the question, what's your leadership style, is about blending preparation with organized communication. By preparing thoughtfully, reflecting on your achievements, spotting consistent behavioral and communication patterns, and grounding your understanding in tools like the DISC profile, you will build a complete picture of how you lead. Then, delivering your answer with a bluff statement, a touch of metacommunication, and vivid real-world examples ensures your response is not only organized, but memorable. An answer like this is going to help you stand out from the crowd and will distinguish you from other candidates, because it shows that you've done the work.
Done the work. Done the work. Done the work.
To fully understand how you lead, can articulate it with clarity, and can back it up with real-world examples. It signals maturity, self-awareness, and intentionality, qualities that interviewers associate with strong, dependable leaders.
Ooh, that was great. It's been a long time since we recorded that.
Yeah, 07.
The first one with Wendy. That's 18 years ago.
Yeah.
And here's what's funny. folks, you don't may not know this, but we're reviewing these. And when we do, we go through the entire show notes and make sure there might be an example that's out of touch, or we might mention BlackBerries, for instance, which some of you wouldn't know were a precursor to iPhones and so on, but not from Apple. So how much of this did you have to change?
Oh, 5%.
5%. Just 5%. A sentence or two?
Yeah, I wrote the summary. The summary is from scratch.
Yeah, okay.
But yeah, not very much.
And you know why? It's the same folks, because this is how I've been teaching this for 30 years. By the way, if you're an individual contributor and you want to be a manager, even if you're saying, well, I've never actually managed, but you've managed projects, haven't you? And in those projects, you may not have had role power, but you could build relationship power. Hopefully you learned how to do that and you have some ideas. And it's okay to say, I've actually never been a manager by title, but I have managed projects and I've gone back over and I've thought about it. And here are the things that animate who I am as a manager and a leader.
Or even I was the captain of my volleyball team in high school. You don't have to have been a leader or a project manager or a something in your career. You can still use this guidance to create an answer to what is your leadership style.
Yeah. Thanks all.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, folks. Thank you for joining us. We hope that this one helped you. Now help us help others and tell your friends. And of course, follow, rate, and review our podcast. And remember, 5 stars only, please.